Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Joining me this morning to talk a bit about the upcoming San Juan Symphony concerts this weekend in both Farmington and Durango. The music director, of course, of the San Juan Symphony, Thomas Heuser, is joining us this morning. Good morning. Good to see you, Thomas.
Good morning, Scott. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Great to have you on. And gosh, it's the start of the 37th season of the San Juan Symphony, right, this weekend?
We're very excited. Yes, kicking things off on this 37th season, we're calling Connect with the Pulse. So concerts in Farmington and Durango at the San Juan Symphony. We're so excited, Scott, to be back with the full orchestra, live audiences. It's a thrill. So here we go.
Right. Very true. And so this weekend you have really a very interesting compilation, if you will, of French music, French composers, right? Mostly. All of
Correct.
Them.
Correct. They are all French. Yes. This program we're calling Bolero, French Impressions. And of course that features the great Bolero of Maurice Ravel, an audience favorite truly around the world, the most amazing orchestral colors in this music, and that really sets the stage for all of the French music on the program, all of which is really indebted to that sort of French impressionist style of painting from the 19th century and early 20th century. And the music explores those colors, from Ravel's Bolero to Debussy's Prelude to the Afternoon of a Faun. We have some audience favorites and also some music that I think will be less familiar to everyone. But the whole concert, as you mentioned, is French. I expect there will be some French berets in the audience. You had mentioned we need some coffee and baguettes here. So something along those lines, really getting everyone in the mood. But it's a brilliant concert that showcases the musicians of the orchestra. There is no concert soloist on this program. It's all orchestra. And again, the musicians in the orchestra are the stars of the show.
Right, right. But a larger orchestra than maybe we have seen in recent seasons, correct? Is that your hope?
That's right. This French repertoire really maximizes on the orchestra. So probably 70, 75 musicians in this concert, just with the orchestra. And it's very exciting to have them all back. But especially with music like Bolero, the composers in this era were, again, fleshing out the colors of the orchestra, utilizing so many different instruments, really obscure in some cases, oboe d'amour, even solos for the saxophone, which is very much a Ravel trademark. So the Bolero is the piece that maxes us out on the orchestra. But then we have some other works that are equally exciting. You know, we have music of Arthur Honegger, his Pacific 231. This is a work that's not very often performed, but it's depicting the rushing sounds of a steam engine, a steam train, which was one of Honegger's passions here in the early 20th century. He was fascinated by the power and the sort of energy of the steam locomotive. So we have this particular piece about a train, which is very appropriate for our Four Corners community. This concert is indeed sponsored by the Durango and Silverton Narrow Gauge Railroad, which is a nice feature for us. So nice to have a piece about the railroad. And again, it maximizes on this big orchestra, lots of different sound effects, colors, really beautiful for the audience to listen to.
Very, very good. Before we get too far into our conversation, I want to remind the audience who isn't watching us on video, Thomas, that the dates, of course, of the symphony concerts are coming up Saturday, October 8th, 7:30 p.m. here in Farmington at the Henderson Performance Hall at San Juan College. Sunday, October 9th, 3 p.m. at the Community Concert Hall, of course, at Fort Lewis College. And so I always want to remind our radio audiences of the details that they can't really see that our video audiences can see. And so let's talk about the composers that you have brought together. As you mentioned, some pieces and people that we probably know and maybe some others that we're not too familiar with, correct?
That's right. And I think that's the idea with every one of our symphony programs, is to have that familiarity combined with the diversity and something new. And I'm so glad, Scott, that we have the video listeners and the radio listeners
yes.
out there. So grateful for you reminding me of that. I get a little spoiled being on screen here all the time.
That's
so,
okay.
Hello to the radio audiences. We love you.
Exactly.
Yeah, so there are many interesting composers on this program. It begins, here we have Maurice Ravel. Of course, we've been talking about his Bolero, an audience favorite, truly one of the most often performed works by any orchestra. And still a rare piece for an orchestra our size because of the quantity of musicians required to perform it. It begins with this very sort of soft snare drum, a very low flute solo, this do-dee-da-da-da-dee-da-dum-da-da-dum, one of the melodies that everyone is so familiar with. And that goes from the flute to the saxophone to even the celeste, the tuba, the trumpet, muted, all of these beautiful orchestral colors. And Ravel really mastered that based on the work of these composers that came before him. So also on the program, again, we mentioned the music of Arthur Honegger, his Pacific 231. Honegger has so much beautiful music that, again, is fairly underperformed. A number of great symphonies, some very fantastic orchestral tone poems, which is what this Pacific 231 is, the description or the visualization of this train starting out with the steam billowing from the smokestack at the beginning all the way to the rushing engine and screeching of the brakes as it comes into the station. This image was set up by the composer, and it's very deliberate, maybe more of an impression of a realistic type in this case, a sort of one-to-one film-like situation. But backing up from Honegger into the 19th century, we have three very distinct composers. Lili Boulanger, sort of straddling the line at the fin de siècle, at the end of the century there. Lili Boulanger, her music is, again, underperformed and only now coming into appreciation for her technique as an orchestrator, again, borrowing from the works of Debussy, Ravel. Arthur Honegger cites Lili Boulanger as an influence, actually. He was profoundly impacted by her works, and she only lived to be into her 30s, died much too young. Her older sister, Nadia Boulanger, became much more well-known as a great pedagogue and teacher of composers from Stravinsky to Copland to Leonard Bernstein, really making an impact on composers all around the world. But Lili Boulanger's music is D'un matin de printemps, a morning in spring. This is a beautiful piece of music, very sprightly, fleeting, energetic, virtuosic for the orchestra, arranged by Lili Boulanger from the original version for violin and piano. So again, grateful to have this great diversity on the program with unknown composers like Lili Boulanger, or lesser known, I should say,
right,
finally coming into their own. And yes, and then of course the great French impressionist Claude Debussy, a term that he didn't necessarily care for, but Debussy's Prelude to the Afternoon of a Faun. This is one of the most well-known symphonic poems and really got the genre off the ground in some senses. It depicts a sleeping faun, dreaming, waking up, the lazy afternoon heat. All of that is depicted so abstractly in the music. And though he didn't care for that impressionist term, it really ties in to the art and style of the era. And Debussy was a huge proponent of Erik Satie, another Frenchman. Erik Satie is credited with sort of starting French music on this more minimalist path. Minimalism, of course, took off in the 20th century with composers like John Cage, but they looked back to Erik Satie for music that really doesn't go anywhere. It's beautiful, it's sensual, but it has no major development, no major rhythmic vivacity. It's all about the abstraction, the color, the solemnity, if you will, sort of a sublime sound. So we'll be playing two of his gymnopédies, which were originally piano works that were, it, quite interestingly, orchestrated by Debussy in order to bring Satie to a wider audience. So, Scott, all of this music works together, really creates this wonderful atmosphere of French music. And again, we hope that audiences in Farmington and Durango are ready to hear some beautiful music performed by our San Juan Symphony musicians.
Well, it sounds like you have packed this concert full of music, Thomas Heuser. I think it seems to me this might be a longer concert than we have seen, with an intermission returning to the concert halls.
That is true. We will have an intermission on this program, which we had gotten away from in the pandemic years. So yes, we are grateful to have a more complete concert in this case. But all of the works on this program actually are relatively modest, compact,
I see.
Short. And so they work together to create a full program, but individually they are all relatively brief. But I think, again, the whole program really leaves you with a sense of what was going on in this era, how music had transformed, and really the direction of modernism into the 20th century. It's fabulous.
Very, very good. And of course, you will be at the concert halls before the concerts. I know in Farmington you are, and kind of giving a little bit of a pre-concert talk on the dates of the concerts.
That is right. Yes, we're bringing that back as well in Durango. So in Farmington and Durango now, 1 hour before each performance, I'll give a short pre-concert lecture, about 30 minutes long, very informal. There's no quiz afterwards. It's just to kind of get everybody in the mood, in the mind frame of the music and the composers, and bring everybody up to speed. I do a more extended lecture on Wednesday night next week in Durango at the Powerhouse, a science center, which will be fun, where the Musically Speaking series has moved to the Powerhouse, and so we'll have a more extended lecture opportunity there. But all these chances to meet our audiences, talk about the music, I'm just so grateful to have all the interested members of our community come out and learn a little bit more about these concerts.
Very true, Will, and to catch a little bit of your infectious enthusiasm for these performances as well, I think, too. So, Thomas, we are out of time this week to talk about the concert, but we're so looking forward to it. Berets for everyone, it sounds like to me.
Berets and croissants. Thank you so much for having me, Scott. We'll look forward to seeing you.
You bet, Thomas Heuser. Thank you so much. It's Thomas Heuser, the music director of the San Juan Symphony, speaking with me this morning on KSJE.
Scott Duran here from the World Beat Show to remind you, you're listening to the Four Corners only classical and jazz radio station, KSJE, Farmington, New Mexico, and now 103.3 in Durango, Colorado. KSJE, the information and cultural beacon of the Four Corners.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.